Hot Talk Morning Show. Hot Talk for Surfside Beach, Shallote, Myrtle Beach, and the entire Grand Strand. The Hot Talk Morning Show on WRNN.
All right, day 36 here on Hot Talk at 99.5. We appreciate our friend Charles Perry for making a few minutes of time for us here this morning. A story that broke last night. Charles, you're lucky that I was feeling nice this morning at 3 o'clock because the rule goes if anyone texts me after 9 o'clock when it's time for me to be sleeping, I then text you in return at 3 o'clock in the morning when I'm working. I did not do that today, but did shoot you a note a little while ago saying, hey, can we get you back on the program? Lots going on within Horry County, so appreciate your time once again today.
Joe, if you text me at 3 a.m., there's a good chance I'll respond.
It's like that, huh?
I'm always awake, man. I'm always working.
And that's just a man who enjoys his passion, and of course that's to bring you the news from the Post and Courier at postandcourier.com. As I'm reading through the article this morning, apparently, following the resignation of those five employees, four officers, and the public information officer, maybe a little bit more to the story than folks had thought when it was originally made known and public last Friday.
Sure, absolutely. So when Randy Webster abruptly retired from the county, I immediately started hearing questions about his exit and some things that people were saying this doesn't seem like the way the county would normally handle this. Someone who had been there as long as Randy had is typically celebrated. They would, his name is on the emergency operations center, so you would figure there would be sort of a big farewell and a big send off. And I was calling council members who have praised him for years, and people weren't calling back. It just everything seemed very off about the way that he left. And there was a letter that was released where it was an email that he'd sent the staff, kind of outlining the reasons for his departure and his health concerns. And so initially that's where the county had kind of left things, that here he's retiring from these medical reasons, and that's it. But I kept hearing from folks in the community that there was something more. So I'd filed some FOIA requests, and we kept digging. And then last week, when the county suddenly announced that there were these four officers who had resigned, immediately we started filing other requests and trying to find out, okay, well, what was the reason for the resignation? And, at 6:02 on a Friday evening, I get this report that just outlines all these allegations of sexual relationships among officers as the reason for their the allegation was they were creating an unharmonious work environment. And so over the weekend, I spent a lot of time reaching out to we reached out to officers, reached out to different folks who were named, and over the course of that time and just continuing to report, we were able to get a copy of the document that was filed with the county's Human Resources Department that outlined the allegations against Randy Webster. And we were able to speak with Kelsey Manamite, who is the officer who filed the complaint with Human Resources. And we were also able to speak with Michaela Moskov, the former public information officer, who was also mentioned in that internal affairs report, and who she had also raised concerns about Webster's behavior, and that's what we were reporting last night. But during the course of this, as we're talking to different folks and filing records requests and sending questions to the county, both women I mentioned, Moskov and Manamite, retained an attorney, and he announced late yesterday that he was going to have a press conference today, and he says he plans to file litigation. So I knew as I said, once they had an attorney and I kind of knew that there was going to be some more information coming out, I was trying to give folks a fuller picture of the events that happened around this retirement and as well as these officers, because, you know, there is, and this is something that was, you know, that both, you know, Moskoff and Manamite have said, is that they, you know, they believe that they were, you know, forced out, you know, in part because of the allegations that they made and the concerns that they raised. And so I'm interested to see what's going to come out of this press conference this afternoon. I typically don't write about threats of litigation. Typically, we would write about, you know, when something is actually filed. So we're going to go to the press conference, see what's said, but we're also going to be looking to see if anything, you know, is filed today and with those cases, because that's, you know, that would obviously can, you know, if they did that, we would be, you know, covering what's, you know, contained in those documents. But to summarize what the story says, you know, a day before Webster formally notified his boss that he intended to retire, there was a complaint filed by a Kelsey Manamite, who was an investigator with the county police department at the time. And Webster was not her direct supervisor. He was actually over her supervisor. He was on the, if you look at the organizational chart, he was just under the administrator as an assistant administrator over all the public safety services. And Manamite has said that he was her former neighbor. She lived across the street from him. And in her statement to Human Resources, she outlined her concerns about messages she said she received, behavior, things that she alleges in those records that she told him were unwelcome and made her uncomfortable. And you know, I'm just trying to summarize briefly here that, you know, that was filed. A Human Resources investigation was opened. And Webster, according to the county, retired before they could actually finish the investigation. So he just put in his notice and he was done. Mm. The county and Webster both maintain that he retired for the reasons that he stated in his letter. He's had some health issues. The letter doesn't go into specific details about what those are, but he said he's nearly died twice. That was in both of, it was in the document that he released, you know, to the public. But there was a lot that was not known publicly about this case until late yesterday, because the county had not, you know, released that that report. They hadn't made, you know, I mean, we filed requests back on October 23rd for records related to Webster's case, and the county hadn't provided them. And so we were able to, like I said, obtain those, you know, verify them, go through the reporting process. And that led to yesterday's story.
Hey, Charles Perry with the Post and Courier, once again, you know, highlighting the big headline out of our area following the resignation of the five employees, four officers within the police department and the PIO within the county, coming last Friday, and news breaking per information, as Charles mentioned, that they just received yesterday surrounding the longtime assistant administrator. Charles, I know, what was it, just last week when you were on, we were talking about the length of time it typically takes when it comes to these Freedom of Information Act requests, and a lot of that has to do maybe with the amount of material that you're requesting, or, you know, the workload that local government employees have to sort through in order to get you what you are required and requested, you know, required by law. But having said that, whether it be the announcement by the police chief to release information almost immediately pertaining to the resignation of these officers, the PIO, and or some of these requests, was this sort of out of the ordinary, or is this sort of, you know, status quo in terms of the time it typically takes to get you what you've requested?
Yeah, out of the ordinary would be an understatement. You know, I will say this. I welcome transparency, and I welcome rapid transparency as well as a reporter. So, but what raised red flags for me was that, you know, like I said, this wasn't the norm. It seemed very, very rushed to get out there. And then it also, you know, I mean, there are officers who, you know, resign for different reasons, you know, all the time at departments all across the country. And there isn't an announcement that this resignation has taken place. What a lot of folks, you know, folks I talked to, both in media and outside, heard or thought when they saw the release of, you know, hey, there are these four officers, they've abruptly resigned in light of an internal affairs investigation. There was a thinking that this was somehow tied to the Weldon Boyd Scott Spivey case, and there were people who were wondering, is there anything there? And so what happened was what I've heard from the county police, their justification for their rapid release was that they were getting questions along those lines, you know, within an hour of within an hour of the officers filing their resignation. So before they'd even sent out an announcement, they were getting questioned about this. And so they said that they acted quickly in full transparency, and they wanted to share. But as I said earlier, this is highly unusual. You know, typically, as a reporter, when you file a request, with the county, you'll get a notice that it's been received. And then at a certain point, you'll get a notice of, okay, this is how much we think, you know, we're going to charge you for this. You can pay a deposit by this date. And then, you know, then the clock starts, and depending on the time, or if the records are recent or a little bit farther away, you know, they get more time for some older records. But you're looking at you know, typically a few weeks for a lot of records. Now, I will say that the report that they provided, that report is pretty standard in the sense that, you know, it's what they would usually release from an IA investigation. Obviously, what's different is that it's a very detailed report into the sex lives of these officers, which is not something that we typically see in an IA report. Normally we would file a request, and it would be, you know, at least days, if not a week or more, before some of those records are released. It's very unusual. Now, I will say, you know, there is a difference between the investigation that was going on with Randy Webster, which was a human resources investigation, and the internal affairs investigation of the police department. And what I mean by that is the county, once Randy retires, the county's HR investigation stops. It doesn't keep going. With the officers, because you have, with an internal affairs complaint, there are issues with certification and things of that nature. If their resignation, if that investigation was still going on, it would continue after their departure, and perhaps could impact their certification down the road. Now, this one didn't. They, you know, from what I can tell, the Criminal Justice Academy's records indicate that they all have their certifications. It was just documented as a resignation, so they could go find, you know, technically they could go find a job at the department. But as they've said, you know, they're concerned that, hey, you know, we're known as, you know, these officers tied into a sex scandal. You know, is anyone going to hire us with this kind of, you know, reputation hanging over us because of, you know, the county releasing these records in this way?
Talk about a violation of code of conduct, which led to, you know, Chief Leonhard basically saying, hey, you either resign or, you know, we're going to terminate you. And when it comes to, you know, integrity and a lack thereof, or at least a perceived lack thereof, integrity and leadership, right? I mean, how you talk about unique and out of the ordinary sort of circumstances. You know, you've been around the news business for quite some time. You cover anything and everything from the hard news to the ribbon cutting ceremonies, you know, to when they erect a statue or name a building after somebody. Have you ever heard of naming a building after somebody who is still employed and working in that building in present time, the way we have with this situation? I mean, usually it's after retirement or, you know, after someone maybe passes on, they memorialize these people with the naming of a building. That out of the ordinary, no doubt, as well. I mean, it's mundane and really, you know, has no direct tie-in, obviously, to what we're talking about here this morning. That's just very unique in and of itself, no?
It is unusual, and even Randy Webster had acknowledged that when it was, you know, named after him and dedicated to him. It is unusual, and, you know, anytime you name a building after someone, even if it's, you know, especially someone who's still alive, but also, you know, someone who, whose life is over, you know, you never know what could emerge from you know, the past that people realize that, oh, by the way, there's a history here. And maybe it's not something that, you know, we want to celebrate by putting on a building. And I'm not saying that that's the I'm not saying that's the case here, but I'm saying that that's often the case with, you know, I mean, we've had debates in this state about buildings that are named after historical figures who did some pretty horrible things. And so, so there's, it's a, you know, even after people are gone, that's, it's a debate, but it's definitely a challenge, obviously, when you name it after a person who's still alive and still working for you, because clearly you don't know how their employment will end. And in this case, I don't think anyone at the county envisioned that this would, that we would be having this conversation, you know, right now. I don't, I, like I said, I had, you know, the county has no record of any other HR complaints against Randy Webster other than the one that we reported yesterday.
Just to wrap up real quick, you know, in terms of personnel matters, we also talked last week about the Myrtle Beach City Council and, you know, by law, what and why, you know, they would go into an executive session. We mentioned the idea of voting districts and how these conversations were going on behind closed doors. And when the eyes of many, you know, if there was nothing to the discussion, why not just have it out in the open in the public, you know, the way, you know, a open government transparent should operate in terms of personnel matters, you know, and resignations and terminations. Oftentimes, right, they hide behind these quote-unquote personnel laws. So another sort of oddball, right, in terms of what we've seen here over the past week or so.
Well, there are some records that they have that they can, you know, withhold or redact. You know, for example, if, you know, if I'm a city or county employee, my personnel file is a public record, but there are parts of it, you know, like my social security number, oftentimes they'll redact a birth date. There's information in there that can be redacted. But, you know, I will say that there are times when I will look at certain records and think, you know, I think that they've, you know, gone beyond what, you know, is legally allowed in terms of the redactions and what they're withholding. But you know, in the case of, you know, in Webster's case, I will say this, that the FOIA request we filed, there's the county has complied with the law in the way that they've responded. They responded on time. We've paid our deposit. They still have, you know, time to, you know, turn those records over. That time hasn't passed. What's unusual is that, you know, we filed records on that Friday and got some of them the same day. I mean, that was very, very quick. And that was a very quick turnaround. And again, like I said, we're asking for different types of records. You're talking about HR records versus internal affairs and records. But again, the bottom line is we're seeking public information. And I think the criticism that's been leveled by some of the former county employees is that, you know, why was our information rushed out there so quickly in a, you know, in an unusually fast and public way, and everything else is, you know, kind of taking its sweet time.
Once again, Charles Perry covering the latest news coming out of our area with the Post and Courier.com, highlighting a story that has gained a lot of traction here over the last 18 or so hours since it was published last night, pertaining to one of Horry County's top officials being accused of harassing one of the police officers who recently resigned a day before he notified the county of his plans to retire, citing health reasons, as Charles runs through all the details in his report at postandcourier.com. Mr. Perry, thanks a lot for the time here this morning.
Thank you, Joe. Take care.